Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
I've not learned my lesson. So welcome everybody to the Casual Comics Cast. We're back here with you this week to chat about comic news, review some comic books. I'm Joe, your Casual Comics host, and I'm here with our regular squad pretty much, Michael.
Hi, guys.
And our good buddy, Jeff.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing today?
I'm groovy.
You said that earlier. I feel like
I'm a man of a certain age, so groovy just kind of works for me.
You are groovy, right. Jeff.
You are groovy. So let's get this groovy group on the road here, like in the Mystery Machine.
Zoinks.
A little news this week. We'll talk about the one I'm most excited about in a minute, but let's talk about the Batgirl costumes. There's an upcoming movie. I think it's a movie slated, maybe sort of like HBO theaters, HBO. I wasn't exactly clear, but they're making a movie of Batgirl, and they just put out the costume online. Jeff, I can tell you have thoughts about it.
I'm just having lovely, wonderful flashbacks to Yvonne Craig from the Batman 66 TV show, because it really evoked that costume.
Do you know who that is, Michael?
No.
Jeff, do you care to explain the...
Yvonne Craig was the actress who played Batgirl in season 3 of the old Adam West Batman TV show.
Got it.
Which aired from what year to what year?
66, 67, 68.
I knew you would know that right off the top of your head. Also, there was a comic book called Batman 66 we talked about. So I was pretty confident it was going to be in that range somewhere. Are you familiar, Michael, with the old Adam West Batman TV show?
In as much as we've talked about it on this podcast, but I haven't really seen it per se.
Maybe
a little bit.
Come on. What world are we living in?
You're not supposed to out me for this.
Well, I mean, like Jeff said, he and I are both kind of a certain age, and you're of a different certain age that probably didn't grow up like I did watching. And let's be real. I wasn't watching it first run. I was afternoons, after school, same bat time, same bat channel every day after school.
Yeah.
And there's only how many episodes, Jeff? There's got to be like, what, 30 tops?
Oh, no.
Come on.
The first two seasons, they ran two episodes per week, 2 half hours. So the last one ended in a cliffhanger. And then you tuned in tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel, to find out what happens to our heroes. And they did a good full season back then. A full season was upwards of 30 episodes a season.
Okay, well, maybe I just remember seeing the same 30 episodes over and over.
Probably true. And then the third season, things were kind of winding down. So they only went to 1 half hour per week.
I have a feeling that we're going to have to record a bonus podcast where we have Michael watch the movie.
Anytime. Let's do it.
Oh, boy.
Some days you just can't find a place to get rid of a bomb.
it's wonderful. It's really a lot of fun.
It's a good series. It probably will not like tie in continuity wise to the new Batgirl movie, which stars Leslie Grace from In the Heights. I'm not familiar with this actress. Are you, Michael?
No, I'm not familiar with her. Nope.
Jeff?
I have not seen In the Heights. I do not know.
Well, she's a revelation to all of us. And it sounds like the villain, or one of the villains, maybe Brendan Fraser.
Ooh, I love Brendan Fraser.
Our good buddy from Doom Patrol.
We got a double thumbs up from Jeff.
You bet. Man, I love Brendan Fraser in Doom Patrol. He is fantastic.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you loved him in Encino Man.
I did love him in Encino Man. You didn't, then get off of this podcast.
Right, I loved him in Brain Candy, the Kids in the Hall movie.
He was not in that.
He had an uncredited cameo.
Okay. All right. All right. He had an uncredited cameo. any other favorite Brendan Fraser call outs you want to have? The Mummy.
The Mummy.
No. Yeah.
The Mummy. George of the Jungle. Great.
What was the one where he was in the time capsule? Did I make that up?
Time capsule? Encino Man.
No, that was no.
Oh, you're the one where he was like his parents had built like a bomb shelter, bunker, and then he came out. With
Christopher Walken or something, right?
Man, we are like 5 minutes into this podcast and we are deeper into the Brendan Fraser filmography.
So back to this.
So Batgirl.
This costume, though.
And this is the rumored reappearance of Michael Keaton as Batman in this movie.
Ooh,
coming back as Bruce Wayne.
Now, is this happening after or before the Flash movie comes out?
All I really know is I saw this picture. I read the article that came with it. I'm not deep into the continuity of Batgirl. But well, you had some thoughts on the costume, though, Michael. You don't see the callback to the old 60s TV show like Jeff and I do. But what are your thoughts looking at it?
Well, it's purple.
Yep.
Okay. So there was number one. It's like an icy kind of dark, deep purple. I did think that it was, I mean, it's almost like she's wearing a moto jacket. Like she's wearing a leather jacket and not what I would think of as a traditional.
Tell me costume. If I'm remembering this right, Jeff. She's always on a motorcycle, right?
Oh, it's not just a motorcycle. It is a Batgirl cycle. And it is modded out like crazy.
Well, I mean, I think function over form, this makes a lot of sense to me, right? She doesn't have to get anybody to help her out of the uniform or the costume. I feel like there's something going with that. But purple, I was a little surprised to see it was purple.
Well, and it's very similar to the most recent Batgirl comics, isn't it? I've seen some pictures where she's kind of the jacket outfit.
It's very comic accurate right now, at least the color scheme and what I see with the cape, which I believe the cape is actually black with yellow lining, though.
It's like gold.
Black on the outside. Yeah. Yellow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yellow on the inside.
I don't know. I'm not a huge Batman fan. I'm sure, you know, Ryan and I, when we talked about Fear State, we were kind of like, I was like, I don't know what's going on here. There's the whole Bat family, but the Batgirl, just this costume has me very excited to see what they'll do with the standalone Batgirl movie. But Michael, you're giving me side eye. You're
like, this costume has me very excited. So I just was going to give you side eye because I didn't know where you're going with that. That's all.
Yeah, us old fanboys just sitting there drooling over this picture.
Right. So it's, you know, I think as far as talking about a picture on a podcast, we've probably gone as far as we can without losing any of our few and precious listeners. So let's move on to the next topic, which I'm very excited about. Let's talk about Moon Knight. Dramatic pause.
Hello, and welcome to Staying Awake.
I have a sleeping disorder. I can't tell the difference between my waking life and dreams.
Hello, and welcome to Staying Awake.
So we all just got our first preview of the full Moon Knight trailer during the football game yesterday. And I was worried that if I missed it during the game, it wouldn't be online for like a few weeks. But luckily, they did post it online. So I'm super.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the 21st century. This stuff goes out immediately.
You don't have to watch a grainy bootleg copy somewhere. It's the miracles of modern technology that Michael will never know. She'll never know the stress of waiting to see a trailer come online and spending like an hour and a half to download a 2.5 minute trailer.
I'm an old millennial. I mean, I know a lot of stuff you guys know.
Do you ever have a dial-up modem?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what's going on.
Is that because of your age or because you lived in Sandusky, Ohio?
Why don't you be quiet? Sandusky's very modern and advanced.
The roller coaster technology is amazing.
It is. No, I mean, I was of that age, right? We had a computer in a room with a dial up.
In a room? In a room, even.
Yeah, a whole room computer. Shush.
We used to dream about having a room.
All right. So let's talk about the Moon Knight trailer, though, because There's a few Disney shows coming this year, more than a few. We're going to talk about them with Mark in an upcoming podcast, but Moon Knight's one that I'm actually most excited for. But you two, I'm sure, don't know Moon Knight as well as I do. What are your thoughts about the Moon Knight trailer?
I don't know Moon Knight at all.
Nope.
And I felt like it was very scary.
Very scary.
So
when I talked to my spouse about it, her comment was, when I said, hey, Moon Knight has a new trailer, she said, That sounds kind of like a feminine name. Is like Moon Knight? Like she was thinking like a My Little Pony. She's thinking of Moon Knight, not with a K, but with a, ooh, it's Moon Knight. It's our friendly little, the trailer's a little bit the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
A little yeah. bit? Holy cow.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
It did feel like Disney.
Well, I first things first, you got Oscar Isaac just killing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just killing it. He's fantastic. And this is just a trailer and I'm loving it already.
Yeah. I mean, it evoked a lot of like anxiety for me. I felt very stressed out watching it. And is it about mental illness? I'm confused, but it did look interesting.
So Jeff, I know sometimes you're the person who sees it and goes online and reads all the spoilers right away. I hope you didn't do too many
before the podcast.
Come on. This is supposed to be excuse me. Wow. This is supposed to be about me not drinking this soda anymore. But this is supposed to be your gut reaction to these.
So what it is
like before researching it, watching just this 2 minutes, what do you think Moon Knight's about? Michael, you said there's some mental illness in there.
He said he can't tell the difference between when he's awake and when he's asleep. That's alarming. He must be taking too much Ambien.
I feel like he's got some serious mental disorder, but not like a mental illness, more like something's been imposed on him.
He has a symbiote.
Oh, alien symbiote.
Kind of.
Our first deep dive show into the Disney shows will be about Moon Knight, obviously, because March 30th, big reveal. March 30th already. It's coming soon. But Moon Knight is a character. He's the protector of those who travel by night. Introduction to Moon Knight was the comic book Werewolf by Night, number 32. His suit in the comic books, I believe, was lined with silver so he could fight werewolves originally. But he's in that dark. He's there to protect people who travel by night from the supernatural forces that may be out to hunt them.
Where are these people going by night?
Where are you going at night when you get attacked by a werewolf? I don't know, camping?
That's what I'm asking.
Walk of
shame. I feel like it's more in the city. Oh,
that's in the morning, Jeff. Haven't you ever lived?
but with the introduction at the very end of Eternals of Blade into the Marvel universe, now you can see them bringing in Moon Knight and bringing in the horror aspects of the Marvel universe, like vampires, werewolves, supernatural. They hint at mummies in the series, and Moon Knight, he is also known as the Fist of Khonshu. The Egyptian god Khonshu has taken Mark Spector, Moon Knight, as his enforcer here on Earth and protector of his ways. And so you have in Mark Spector a character who is a mercenary and had multiple identities, like, you know, like mercenaries do. You don't want people to know who you really are. So he had different identities, like 3 or 4, where he would be, oh, now I'm this person, so people can't find me. And then when this Khonshu character like enters into his mind is like, I'm this Egyptian god who's going to make you my protector. It messes him up mentally. And he gets lost in the different identities he's created as a mercenary. And sometimes he doesn't know if he's awake or if he's asleep. And sometimes he gets lost in one of these identities and he forgets who he is.
Okay.
It's kind of cool. It starts off with him chained to a bed though, right? It's like,
wait. I think he chained himself to the bed.
Right.
So that's different.
Okay. So my guess that he has this mental illness, but it's been imposed upon him, is not too far off.
I agree. I feel like this still sounds like mental illness.
It's sort of the experience like split personalities of God reaching into your mind sort of cracks his psyche.
Sure.
Yeah. It freaked me out.
So level of interest, having just watched this trailer, Jeff, you sound like you're super enthusiastic.
10 out of 10. I'm ready to go.
I'll watch it.
Okay. And Michael, you'll watch it. You'll give it one or two.
I'll give it one or two.
These series only tend to be about 6. So you might get there.
I might get all the way through it then.
It could. You could be like me when I was watching the movie The Evil Dead 2 for the first time, because I was not a horror movie fan. And every 10 minutes, I was like, this is so dumb, I'm going to turn it off. And then something interesting would happen. And then I would be like, okay, this is dumb, I'm going to turn it off. And then before you know it, I'm 45 minutes into the thing. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch the whole thing. All right. Well, thanks for talking Moon Knight with me. I'm really looking forward to catching up full in Moon Knight, giving you guys the full rundown on him, his powers, his background, his history, who is Moon Knight. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will be reviewing Death of Doctor Strange, number one by Marvel Comics.
By the hoary hosts of Hoggoth, you're listening to the Casual Comics Cast.
Death comes for the Sorcerer Supreme. Dr. Stephen Strange is the world's greatest neurosurgeon and Earth's Sorcerer Supreme. He defends our planet from the supernatural and interdimensional threats no other hero is equipped to handle. But what would happen if he unexpectedly died? Who would protect Earth and keep the mystical evils at bay? And most importantly, who killed Stephen Strange? The final chapter in the life of Dr. Strange starts here.
All right. Death of Doctor Strange, number one. Nicely done there, Jeff. I love the previews that you're putting together for these.
Why, thank you. Thank you so much.
That's why
I have fun doing them.
That's why you're the talent.
Uh-huh. Right.
But I've been trying to pick comics to review on the podcast that are maybe, you know, just in my mind as I'm seeing these, hey, here's a jumping on point for characters or for comics that people I don't think you have to be super deep into the mythology or into the continuity, but I want to get your opinions and have you read some of these. Death of Doctor Strange number one is just kind of what it sounds like. It is a Doctor Strange story that is about him dying. First impressions.
I thought this was actually pretty complicated. There was a lot going on that I was like, I have no idea what that is.
All right. Well, lay it on me, sister. What were you?
I mean, it actually goes through Doctor Strange describing his whole kind of past. He was a doctor and then he wasn't. And then he went and he got all these mystical powers. And he's sort of describing all these other worlds, but they're all weird names. So I still don't know what he's talking about half the time.
I think, Jeff, were you following it or was it a bit cumbersome?
I think I was tracking pretty well with it.
I think it's an attempt at the beginning to recap just who is Doctor Strange again for people who might not know. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a kind of funny, clever way. His ghost dog taking him.
Liked the ghost dog. That was the last note I wrote about this comic was, I don't really know totally what's going on here, but I like that dog. The Basset Hound is a ghost dog named Bats.
Apparently made it to 17 before he shuffled off this mortal coil, and now he's Doctor Strange's faithful companion. Him and Wong yeah, hanging out, making breakfast. Just the two bachelors living it up. Jeff, what?
Come on. No comment.
So you get the backstory. So I think it's an attempt to reset sort of Doctor Strange, surgeon, master of the mystic arts. Maybe a little overblown in the mythology, losing you a little bit, but really when you boil it down to all they're saying is, this dude's a master of the mystic arts and he's here. He's getting old. They're talking about it. He's getting old. And he has, there's this epic, this legend that he's talking about that you're referencing. At the beginning, that isn't anything that he did. It's just a story he read that inspired him of, I forget the name.
Koshi,
who was a mystic who became immortal because he saved a portion of his soul when he put it into a needle, and he put the needle in an egg, and then he put the egg in a, I don't know whether he put it up the chicken or the duck, or where he stuffed the egg.
The hand motion, which no one can see, was helpful for letting us know where you think that egg may be stored, Joe.
Up the butt. I don't know, but as long as this fraction of Koshi's soul remained untouched, he would be immortal. And that inspired him in some way, which, dun dun dun, spoiler alert, leads to the whole plot mechanism of this story that unfold and are launched into, which is Dr. Strange gets murdered by an unseen assailant, and the only person who can solve this mystery of who killed Dr. Strange is Dr. Stephen Strange.
But Dr. Strange from 1963, 64?
Sure. 63.
That's what he looks like when he emerges.
Right. He looks exactly like he did in the comics when he first started, when he first became Sorcerer Supreme. So the plot of the story is, with Doctor Strange dying, all of the mystic barriers that he has constructed as Sorcerer Supreme of Earth are falling apart, and all of the extra dimensional beings from other magical realms are able to come here to Earth and create havoc. And Baron Mordo shows up because Baron Mordo is just dick all the time. And he's like the nemesis. And he's like, I should have known it was you, Mordo. And Mordo's, this would be a good place for a comic book theater presents. I should have you guys read this. Come on. I'm gonna have you guys record a comic book theater presents and put it in here. You guys have your comics? We can find it right now.
I got it right here.
Come on, Michael.
Why don't you two do it?
All right. Is there a particular scene here, Jeff?
Well, you wanted the Baron Mordo thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's too many characters unless you're going to help us out, Michael.
I don't even know where we are.
Okay, that sounds about right for you.
We're okay.
My notes on this
We'll record it, Jeff.
Totally we'll record it after.
We'll record it. We'll put it on at the end of the episode. People can stay tuned for our comic book theater presents recreation of the Baron Mordo being a jerk scene in the death of Dr. Strange. But of course, Mordo is suspected. But he says it's not him because he didn't do it. And obviously Baron Mordo is the kind of guy who would be gloating if he did kill Dr. Strange. And then out of the Mystic Realm comes a Dr. Strange, which then obviously the whole reason he told the story is because he has carved off a piece of his own soul and placed it in as a failsafe in case he gets killed, that this old version of Dr. Strange will be able to come back and figure out what went on.
Yeah, but he says that he would only be released, this version of himself, if the worst has happened, which means that all these creatures are coming out of whatever universes.
I guess. I mean, I would think if I got killed, that would probably be the worst that would happen, but maybe I'm just selfish that way. Well, it's a combination. I mean, he's killed, and because he's killed is why all the creatures are coming, is because the mystical barriers are broken down. Well,
and his death was kind of sad because he kept saying, as he knew he was going to die, he just wanted his friends to be there with him. He didn't want to die alone. It was actually quite sad.
But he did. And did you notice how gross it was that whoever killed him cut his hands off?
Ew.
I didn't notice that.
I didn't see that part.
Jeff, how did we miss that? He's missing.
Oh, gross. They did.
What a jerk.
His hands, his most important assets.
Right. Those same hands that he uses to cast mystical incantations and also heal the broken bodies as a surgeon.
Yeah, I did not pick up on that the first time, but there they are. It's just a sleeve with blood coming out of it.
Oh, yeah. I just noticed the blood. I didn't notice the hand was missing. Gosh. Yeah.
That's brutal.
Yikes.
Brutally murdered all alone. And zounds. He emerges again. And I'm a little bit further in. It's one of my favorite kind of, he's only got a week and he's got a week to solve his own murder.
This is like, we read a comic like this.
I know it's Human Target.
Somebody
all
who
over.
Dies at the beginning and then you go back and he solves his murder.
It's Human Target where he's been poisoned and he's got 12 days before the poison kills him.
This is quite the trend.
I know.
It's kind of like the movie DOA.
Hey, it's almost like writers steal ideas from each other all the time.
or they use tropes every once in a while as well. It's like, oh, here's the worst thing that happened. Oh, but that was 12 hours ago. Let me tell you what's happening. Yeah, whatever.
We all have it. All of us who have written anything.
There's nothing new under remotely. The sun.
You got your crutches. And this is a classic. This is a good one. I mean, they do it all the time. They made DOA back in, what, the 50s? That movie came out
late 40s,
and then they remade it like with early Lindsay 50s. Lohan or something.
No, they made it remade.
No, but they made a Lindsay Lohan movie where she was gonna die and had. Then they made
seriously.
Then they made the one. What was it? Crank with Jason Statham. Where he's.
I thought you were talking the literal DOA with not Randy Quaid, but Dennis Quaid in the 80s.
Okay,
no, and Meg Ryan.
You're thinking of Dreamscape.
Yeah. When am I not thinking about Dreamscape? That's such an awesome movie. That needs to be remade.
It's a story though that's arresting. It puts. I mean, there's always interest when there's a ticking clock. So it's a ticking clock, and I mean, I thought it was pretty clever. You seem like you had a lot more questions, Michael. You said your last note. What was your second note?
Well, my two notes that my notes are totally illogical.
Of the two.
No, I wrote more than two notes. I just, if you read my notes, you'd be like, what are we talking about here? But he's going around town and he sort of has a little bit of a Batman thing going on where somebody's in trouble and he goes and he saves the person, right? He like tells the police, get out of the way, I'm gonna save this person. And
well, I mean, there was like a giant explosion and he went to figure out what exploded. The cops were there, right?
Yeah. And then there was this guy there and I wrote down that he was saying he was getting messages that were making his head feel like it was hurting really badly from the, I wrote down the Cinnabons, but that's not what it's called. It's Cinnabons? Not the place that has delicious smells at the mall, but it's like another, it's another universe that sounded like Cinnabons.
It did look like the word Cinnabons. Yeah. And that does make my head hurt.
It makes my mouth water because they're delicious.
I know, but it's so, I thought when people would say something was so sweet, it made your teeth hurt, that was like just like a metaphor, an exaggeration. No, I have had a Cinnabon and my jaw aches when I, because it's so sweet.
You're crazy. And then the other thing I wrote down was that it was interesting to me that Dr. Strange has his own school. And that there was a kid there named Doyle who had a flaming pumpkin.
Doyle rules,
but with the flaming pumpkin head. So
I know a little bit about this. This is a recent new series, and it's kind of a new thing. It's not like a part of the classic Doctor Strange. He started the Strange Academy, which is almost like Professor X's. Like,
yeah, Mutant, that's what Academy. I thought it was X-Men-y. Yeah.
But it's for, and I mean, it's not like they're outcasts, but it's for young people who are gifted in the mystical arts to come, like almost like Hogwarts. I don't know. Except not all the students getting murdered constantly.
That's probably best.
Well, there probably is still some murder. And I always thought that Doyle, whenever I would see the comic book, that he was like a flaming jack-o'-lantern head on a scarecrow. He's supposed to be the son of, I think, Dormammu, who in the comic books is like a huge giant nemesis of Doctor Strange. He's in the first movie. He doesn't look exactly like him in the movie, but he has a giant flaming head. And I was like, oh, this flaming pumpkin head guy, I thought, is Dormammu's kid. And his kid's kind of like cute and precocious for his dad being cute, like ruler of the dark dimension.
My question is,
he's named
Dormammu after, has been so named after busy.
His uncle on his mom's side.
Dormammu's been so busy. When did he have time to have a family?
I mean, it doesn't mean he has a family. He sent the kid to boarding school at Doctor Strange Academy. It doesn't mean that he's being a good dad.
Okay.
All right. I think we're going to have to research Doyle a little bit more and find out how he... This smells like a messy family situation at home. I don't even know who this kid's mom would be. Or maybe he was like an amoeba where Dormammu split apart and now he's got a little... kid, one of his little flames fell off his head.
A lot of mysteries here.
Jeff, any thoughts on the death of Doctor Strange? You didn't seem as like you it felt like you followed it a little better.
I think I followed it just fine. I only had time to read it once and I wanted to read it again, but work was a little crazy today, so I barely got a lunch break. So I was following along just fine. I didn't have any real questions about the story.
Okay. So this is, I believe, a 5-issue limited series with a bunch of tie-ins. But if it's 5 issues to get through this story, give me a rating, buy it, borrow it. I'll just read the recap online or I'm going to skip it. Michael?
Read the recap.
Jeff?
Borrow it.
Borrow it. Okay. I like it. It's going to be tough to get a buy it out of you, Jeff. You're a huge fan of the public library.
Well, what can I say? I've already paid for the stuff to be there through my tax dollars. So,
yeah. Or, I mean, I guess I could add a rating. Maybe I can get Dragon's Lair to sponsor us of just show up there and read it and put it back on the shelf and make them mad. All right. Well, that's what we know about the death of Doctor Strange, folks. If you're interested, it's on Comixology now, and I'm sure your local comic book shop would be happy to point you to it. If you're going to pull a Jeff and wait and borrow from the library, you probably got to wait a bit longer still until it is collected in a trade paperback. But
at least 10 years.
Lucky if it's not 10 weeks. All right, so that's the death of Doctor Strange. When we come back, we'll be talking about One Star Squadron, another comic pick we've got for you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. What a revolting development that is. Who are you going to call? The One Star Squadron. Meet DC's superhero team, where heroism meets capitalism. This ragtag group of heroes, led by Red Tornado, is here to provide service with a smile.
All you must do is send a request via their on-demand hero app, and they'll answer any call, whether it's a children's birthday party or an alien invasion. No job is too small or too big. Brought to you by Eisner nominee Mark Russell and Eisner winner Steve Lieber, you'll want to invest early in this one-of-a-kind miniseries that promises a story filled with heart, heroism, and humor.
All right, and we're back to talk about One Star Squadron by Mark Russell, DC Comics. This is like a 180 from the death of Doctor Strange. You really don't need to know anything about One Star Squadron because you set it all up right from the beginning. I'm going to open it to the floor.
I loved this book.
I thought it was cute too.
This was so much fun, and it totally explains. I mean, let's face it. What, 70 years we've been doing superhero comics?
Right.
Close to 80. And there have been so many characters over the years that get introduced and they kind of do okay, but then they kind of just fall to the wayside. And if you have a comic book encyclopedia, you can look up all these weird characters like, oh, whoever heard of that guy? Well, he's working telemarketing now at
Heroes for You.
Heroes for You, which is like a job placement for... And it's what, so you would, famous superheroes.
It's what you would expect too. It's like it's spelled a dumb name way too. It's like H-E-R-Z, the number four, and then U, just the letter U. Heroes for You, the gig economy, which we were talking about.
Helps them navigate the gig economy.
So. Yep.
Seems like the boss man right now is Red Tornado. Michael, yep. Are you familiar with Red Tornado?
No.
Familiar with Red Tornado?
Sure. Tell me about him.
I actually did research on Red Tornado. What do you know about Red Tornado, Jeff?
He's an android.
I know. He was formed with the merger of two entities, an android body created by supervillain T.O. Morrow, okay, and a tornado champion from the planet Ron. The tornado champion was the morally good part of a sentient tornado. And so, now, you know, as it happens,
you know.
His name, Ulthun.
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 Is there an umlaut over that? Ulthun.
I don't know the correct spelling from the planet Ron, but he's an android. He's got strength, durability, and thought-processing powers, quote, many orders of magnitude greater than a human.
Yes, and he does the twist, many orders of magnitude better than Chubby Checker.
Oh, nice. Yes, so he has tornado-related powers, and he's now using them to just sort of be the boss man and hand out assignment at Heroes for You to such luminaries as Minuteman.
That was so funny.
Oh my God.
It was so funny.
So the first image I get of this guy, and I see his chest emblem, and I'm thinking, why did they put two condoms pointing at each other on this guy's chest? I didn't get it at first.
I didn't even pick up on that at all. But I just love that they were like, it's, you know, it's a placement agency and it's really hard to place a guy whose powers only last 1 minute.
And then it struck me, like, our man would have an hourglass logo on his chest. Ooh. He's got a minute timer from any average board game.
Well, and all of the associates or employees have basically what is tantamount to a Tinder profile. You know, they have like pictures and a ranking, and his ranking was only 1.5 stars.
Right, which is why it's hard for Red Tornado to get him jobs. Any
places. Yeah.
I love the beginning because it just kicks off with what looks basically like either an online, it's probably an online ad. It looks like a TV commercial or an online ad for Heroes for You. And just from the first page, like Batman and Superman elbow bumping, and then the Hall of Justice and Hawkeye riding around on a Segway. From the classic Hall of Justice.
There was a lot of Black Condor references in it too. The one that was so funny was Black Condor's holding a fish up in a photo, and it says not an escort profile. And so have you ever seen there's this hysterical video online, and it's this girl, and it's how girls react when they see your fish picture on your date on the dating app.
No,
if you haven't seen it, Google it, because it is so funny. It's just this girl ranking everybody's fish in their photos on their dating profile. And it's so funny. But that's what that made me think about, because it's true. Guys are always on the dating profile holding up some gigantic fish. Like, that impresses women. I don't know. I don't get it, but it's hysterical.
It impresses the right women.
Sure, it does.
The ones who are into fishing.
All right.
So, but yeah,
who's cute?
Fishermanonly.com.
Old Hoon dudes for you. But it's got a lot of, like, I don't know, it's very contemporary, and there are some, I mean, it's definitely a comedy, and it's got serious moments in it that are like pointed satire of, like, just modern life. You know, they have normal problems. Red Tornado talks about how he was like an awesome hero until all of a sudden he had been defeated, and you see all of his bills, like his mortgage, everything behind him, and he's just gotta get paid.
I mean, yeah, he's not wrong. I mean, if you think about what superheroes have, like, day jobs. We got Peter Parker, got Iron Man. Who else has a day job? I guess
Dr. Superman,
the surgeon. What's so Superman at the newspaper?
Yeah,
they all kind of do. Hal Jordan's a pilot.
What is the Hulk? The Hulk is a scientist.
Yeah, you get a lot of scientists and a lot of billionaires. So they don't have to explain why they're not at work.
They're not working. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to clock in.
I wonder what, I should do that at some point. Look up, like, what's the most normal job that, like, a superhero
has. She-Hulk is a lawyer.
She-Hulk is a lawyer.
True, I think, enough. Reporter would be pretty high on that list.
What would Clark Kent actually be doing now, though? He would be, like, posting, like, blogger. Top five lists and stuff like that.
He would really be working for Iris West at the Central City blog site that she runs.
Okay. I was not familiar with. What's the name of her blog site, Jeff?
You know, it's been a while since I've watched an episode of The Flash, because they're on hiatus. So it's kind of eluding me at the moment.
Who is your favorite?
Central City Citizen.
Oh, okay. Who is your favorite B character in this? Because they're all B characters, Michael.
I don't know that I'll say that these were my favorite characters, but I noticed that around the office, there were a lot of cat pictures on people's desks. Like, hang, you know, that there, cat, baby. That cat poster of the cat hanging on the thing and it says, hang in there.
Right.
Or there's, like, somebody had a cat and a lion on their desk in a photo frame. There was somebody, maybe you guys know who this was. I wrote this down, that there was a guy who had a head that was shaped like a screwdriver, or maybe like a coffin shaped nail. It was like a gray head that was square at the end, but, like, kind of pointy square.
Yeah, and he has the Infinity logo on his chest.
That guy,
I have no idea.
And I don't even know what guy you're talking about.
There was another guy that was looked like C-3PO, but that was GI Robot.
And Power Girl works there. What do you know? Power Girl, a real Kryptonian who has real superpowers, works there. But she's like suffering from some kind of ennui in her life, where she's like, I just keep doing this and nothing changes. The villains get stronger and we fight them and they get stronger again, and what does it all matter? She read like Max Lord's self-help book.
Well, Red Tornado's sort of going through that too, right? He's like, every day, you know, we show up and we save people, but mostly from each other. What are we doing wrong here? Just like, right? People trying to kill each other all the time.
And that's what I kind of, like, I loved this comic when I read it. And I think that's one of the things they'll introduce, like, a theme like that like, you grasp, and then they undercut it with humor to, like, lighten it a little bit. Because he's like talking about that, the whole thing of, like, what are we doing it for? And the guy's like, are you going to eat those fries? I'm taking those fries. Minuteman's just in the background all swiping his fries. Well, he's having an existential moment, and I had never heard this phrase, but, like, now my favorite is the heckler. I don't even know, is the, I wonder if I'm gonna look it up at some, but I gotta think that as long as DC Comics been around, the heckler is a real character that's like a knockoff Joker or Riddler.
Yeah,
the heckler though, he's working telemarketing, and I had never encountered the whole, he gets a sale and he's like, stack that cheese.
I love that too. It's just like, what the heck does that mean? But he's committing to that bit.
He's killing it on selling. He's doing a good job. And then you get the subplot with, again, it's kind of like the realistic things they bring into a gangbuster.
That was a little heart-wrenching.
I know. They're talking about the state of healthcare and mental health care,
yeah, in the
United States, but then also undercut with the fact that why is he in this memory care facility? His superpower is basically being able to get punched in the head really hard.
And headbutting people.
Evildoers beware.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I mean, I read this, and this, I think, is just a 3 issues. Oh, no, it's 6. It says right on the front. I should see where it says. Issue 1 of 6. That would be my first clue.
That helps.
6 issue series. I just had to buy this for the cover. It's like One Star Squadron, Superman level service at bizarro prices.
My favorite joke in the whole thing was where he's trying to give Minuteman job placement. He's like, go down to Wall Street and help out Plastic Man. He's there making sure people don't jump off buildings. And it took me a minute to realize that Plastic Man was probably acting as a trampoline.
He's uniquely qualified to catch people that's falling off buildings. So you, Michael, as a non-comic fan who didn't even know who Plastic Man was, probably until Jeff just talked about that, you still were able to enjoy this book though, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't mean to be leading the witness here, like She-Hulk.
Oh, no. It was really funny. I thought it was great.
Oh, boy. Any other thoughts on the book?
Can't wait to read issue two.
Issue two. So on your same scale, buy it, borrow it, read the recap, leave it, skip it. What are you going to do, Jeff?
Buy it. I got to read issue two. Find out what's going on.
Jeff's can't wait buy for the collection.
I'm going to borrow it from him when he's done.
Okay.
Well, I'm buying it on Comixology, so I'm not sure how to transfer.
I'll leave you this. This is actually One Star Squadron is written by a writer that I have found to be really an interesting writer, Mark Russell. He wrote one of the Future State series that I read, which is Future State Imperious Lex, which had a lot of the same kind of stuff behind it. There's socio-political commentary. we should actually read some Mark Russell and do it, but you would get a kick out of Superman Imperious Lex because it's Lex Luthor's planet and it's very much sort of media savvy, and it becomes an analog for the state of politics in America on the news. At one point on the newscast, you know, the planet is having major problems with their economy. And they're like, well, what did you think would happen when you had a murder robot based economy? And he also wrote something that I'm very interested to pick up, which is I heard good things about it, but DC Comics published, they dusted off some old properties like Snagglepuss and Flintstones and updated them. And it's the same writer with the same like viewpoint. And now having read this of what he did with One Star Squadron and these marginal characters, I'd be interested to see what he does with like a character like a Snagglepuss. So we may have to do an upcoming podcast where we do a little Mark Russell talk.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, we'll take one last break and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast, Superman service at bizarro prices.
Excuse me.
That's your edit point.
You're going to have to cut that one out. Jeez Louise.
Well, all right. Welcome back to the Casual Comics Cast, everybody. We're just recapping our beverage choices for this podcast. I'm drinking, Michael, you had recommended this to me a long time ago, hop tea.
And it's so good.
It's a brand new flavor of hop tea, the Mile High Hibiscus. Ooh. It's a hoppy hibiscus sparkling tea, which I'm enjoying.
Yeah, Hoplark. It's good stuff.
It looks like the two of you made a better choice than me of not drinking a carbonated beverage during the show, though.
Mine's carbonated. Mm. I'm drinking a lavender bitters and soda.
Explain lavender bitters to me.
They're non-alcoholic.
I don't even know what bitters are, really. I hear about them all the time.
You put bitters in, usually you put bitters in like old fashions and Manhattan.
Are they bitter?
Yeah.
And they just come in a little liquid?
You just usually put a few drops of them into a regular cocktail, but they're themselves not alcoholic.
It's a mixer.
Yeah, it's a flavoring component.
You're doing dry January, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is this a good substitute you recommend as a mock cocktail?
If you like to drink, so they have a couple of different flavors. I can't remember what the brand is. I poured it in a glass, but if you like to drink martinis or cocktails, it's nicely kind of flavored in that way. I poured it in a nice glass and give me the placebo effect, I guess, of having a regular cocktail. So
give me the recipe.
There is no recipe. It came in a can.
It's, what?
Here's the recipe. Pull tab. Enjoy.
It was pre-mixed. I just thought you bought lavender bitters.
It's just lavender bitters and soda in a can.
Oh, I thought you mixed them together yourself. I thought
maybe a little bit of cane sugar, but it only has 1 gram of sugar in it, so not overly sweet. It's more aromatic, I think, than anything.
But you poured it into a glass.
I poured it into
one. Okay.
Because I'm classy like that.
Well, that listeners will bring us to the end of yet another Casual Comics Cast. To recap, Moon Knight. Yes. Very excited.
Yes.
Death of Doctor Strange number one. I liked a lot. Maybe a little hard for people who aren't, maybe not as accessible as I once thought. One Star Squadron.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Tons of fun. Loved it. Loved it.
All right. Well, we will be back at you all soon. Coming up, we've got our Marvel preview for the 2022 slate of Marvel shows. And then we've got a deep dive into Moon Knight for you all. So stick around after the credits if you want a little bonus of Casual Comics Theater. But thanks for joining me, Michael. Thanks for joining me, Jeff. This was a hell of a lot of fun, like it always is.
Thank you much. It was always a blast.
Talk to you soon.
Well, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
And that's that. See
you. Oh, wait a minute. And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter at Casual Comics Guy, at our blog, casualcomicsguide.com, or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Comic Book Theater.
All right, we're going to do this in one take. Go.
Who has stolen what rightfully belonged to Baron Mordo?
You. You did this.
You will not lay a finger upon my master.
I will destroy you, both Caecilius, you murderer's lapdog.
Wong, wait.
We don't know that he did it.
And I thought you the calm and sensible one. There was nothing I desire more than Strange's death, but at my hands, no others. He was mine to kill.
This has been Comic Book Theater,